This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
The parrot. Yep, the parrot confessed. I'm just trying to warn you. The burglar relaxed. Warn me, huh? Who are you? Moses, replied the parrot. Moses, the burglar laughed. What kind of stupid people would name a parrot Moses? The parrot says, probably the same kind of people that would name a Rottweiler Gabriel, the bird answered. So get ready, Gabriel's about to chew on somebody, all right? Gabriel the Rottweiler. You know, back in 1959, there were three singers that went to Iowa and in a concert, they tore the house down, if you know what I mean. It was just an overwhelming success, 1959. And that was, of course, Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper. I was only 14 years old at the time. But anyhow, at the end of their concert, after midnight, they took off to go to the next place they were going. They were in this airplane piloted by a 21-year-old rookie pilot. And it was just a light snow, but after they took off, they came into a storm. There was a lot of winds, and the pilot became disoriented, and the plane crashed in a farmer's field in Iowa. And if you can go there today, right alongside the road, there's a monument to in this farmer's field where they crashed. But the whole earth, the whole America, let's say, lamented and grieved over the loss of these three singers. And Rocky, you probably remember those guys, don't you? And they even made the statement that music had died. Well, it hadn't really died, but they acted like it was. And I think to myself, we grieve over somebody like that. Let's take some time to appreciate the ones who gave their lives for not only our independence, which, you know, you go back to the War of Independence and the signers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were people who lost their homes, lost their livelihood, lost, in some cases, their families, lost their reputation, and so their wealth, everything, to declare this nation free in 1776. And today it's a good time, and we think about them who gave their lives, those patriots, but we also think about those who've given their lives in subsequent wars, and it's time to pay homage to them and to just thank God for them and their sacrifice so that you and I can walk in freedom. Nationally, this is called Liberty Sunday. I don't know if everybody, but all over the country, they're supposed to be celebrating this Liberty Sunday today. And in that, we take a moment to pause and say thank you so much for all those who gave their lives that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have. In fact, Admiral Nimitz, can you bring that? I think we have a little picture up there of Admiral Nimitz, who at the end of World War II, I believe he was the one that was on that boat, on that aircraft carrier where they invited the Japanese to come and surrender and sign those surrender papers of surrender, unconditional surrender. And here's what Admiral Do we don't have that? Okay. Here's what Admiral Nimitz said. He said, "They fought together as brothers in arms. They died together, and now they sleep side by side. To them, we have a solemn obligation, the obligation to ensure that their sacrifice will help make this a better and safer world in which to live." And so let's think of the big picture here. And why do we have all the fireworks and so forth? Why do we take this time? One reason is to appreciate all those who've given their lives. One gentleman by the name of Willie Williams. Ever heard of Willie Williams? He just recently passed away at 98 years old. He was almost 99. And he joined the Marines as a young man. He was only 5'6", only 130 pounds, barely met the qualifications to be a Marine. And in World War II, he was at the Battle of Iwo Jima. And he single-handedly took out 7 pillboxes. You know what those are? Those were the heavy machine gun pillboxes. Took out 7 of those. And was honored by the president and so forth. But he also had some people that gave their lives to save his life while in the process of taking out those 7 pillboxes. And he was very grateful to them. But when he... Is it a little chilly in here? Am I getting chilly? Okay, can we just cut that a hair? So he died there at 99 years old. But what he did was when he realized the sacrifice that they had made, then he heard the message of the gospel, and he realized that the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And so he gave his heart to the Lord. He was a born-again Christian. So Willie Williams, right. So, Father, we do take a moment and say thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord, for us. And we thank you for every person that's paid the ultimate price to give us the freedoms that we have today, Father. May the young people of America come to realize that, Lord, and show gratitude as well. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, did you find Numbers chapter 14 yet? I guess I get a turn there. Numbers 14, fourth book in the Bible. Numbers 14. And it says in verse 20, let's start with verse 19. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. All the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. I tell you, there have been winds of change that have been blowing recently. Back there in chapter 11, verse 31, it says, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp. Winds brought in these quails. Winds of change. And I tell you, winds of change are sweeping this nation right now. There is a glorious shift that is taking place. A shift back to God. A shift back to wholesome recognition of the Bible and recognition of the Constitution as the document by which we need to live. Amen. Both those documents. The Supreme Court, we know recently, and this tells us why we've experienced a shift, a wave, if you will. Roe v. Wade just upheld the Constitution and said, listen, there's no provision in the Constitution for abortion. And so they disqualified Roe v. Wade, and now it goes back to the states. And so really, this is the, amen, go ahead, thank God for that. Hallelujah. And how many know when that sort of thing happens and when we overturn Roe v. Wade and when we support Israel, guess what? The favor of God comes back on the land.
Exactly right. Exactly.
And so we've got people who are interpreting the Constitution instead of trying to write laws themselves. And those 6 judges that we have, 5 or 6, whatever. The Second Amendment was upheld, if you recall. Now the states cannot take away the citizens' rights to conceal and carry a weapon as guaranteed by the Constitution, the Second Amendment. And so, how about this one? Coach Kennedy. These are examples now of why we're seeing a shift. Coach Kennedy, remember the football coach who bowed at the end of the game and prayed. Well, that case went all and was disqualified and fired, and that case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, we have religious liberty. We have the freedom to say what we want to say. Amen. And so that was overturned. Come on, that's another victory. Glory be to God. Amen. So he's been reinstated. In the other case, Carson versus Reagan, parents now can choose to send their children to a charter school, a Christian school, anywhere they want, and particularly in Arizona now, they've said that the funds that were going to the public schools can now go to educate those children. $6,500 in Arizona for each child can now go toward sending them to a Christian school or a charter school. That was another win, tremendous win. They came, a shift has begun. Do you believe it? Amen. The Supreme Court also shot down the authority of the EPA to over-regulate and overreach with regard to regulating businesses and emissions and so forth. The Supreme Court says, no, the EPA doesn't have that kind of authority. No, the Congress has that authority, and they must sit down and work through this and vote, but the EPA does not have that kind of authority. And oh my, it made the liberals mad. It made the green energy people angry. Amen. But it was a good decision. This represents a new wave, a new shift that we're experiencing. And I believe there's more to come. How about you? Amen. Hopefully we'll get back to supporting the Abrahamic Accord that was instituted with the last administration, and this administration hasn't done much to support it or undergird it. We're believing God that they're going to do that, because that's the group that's going to help support and defend Israel against the onslaught of the Iranians. Amen? So all of this that's transpired brings God's favor back into this nation. Step by step, inch by inch, more of his favor is coming back upon this nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! So when we stop, as I said, killing babies and strengthening Israel and so forth, we're going to see greater receptivity from God, greater favor from the Lord. But we've got to keep our foot on the pedal and don't let up and keep doing what we're doing and keep speaking out against things that are wrong and keep praying according to 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal this land. Amen. So, favor upon this nation. Point number one today is a shift has begun and God's favor is returning to America. Inch by inch and step by step. Point number two, an individual, meaning you and me, Christians, believers, receive favor from God when they're born again. Now, I'll just tell it right out. If you're not born again, you don't have the favor of God. I mentioned earlier, Ephesians chapter 2. It says that you're without God, without hope, you're a stranger from the covenants of promise. But when you get born again, you come into favor. Psalm 5, 11, and 12 kicks in, and you now have the favor of God. So there's a good reason to get born again. Number one, to escape hell. And number two, to get the favor of God in your life. And you think about Adam. Well, he was in the garden. He had the favor of God. But what did he do? They sinned. And so they lost the favor of God. But what happened? God says, I'm going to make provision to get it back for my people, for my children. And so he sent Jesus to the cross to die for you and me. And in so doing, he gave us an inheritance. And part of that inheritance is the favor of God. Amen. That favor is not on the world. Amen. God so loves the world. He loves them.
Amen.
But they don't have the favor that you and I have. It's true. You read John chapter 9, it says that he hears not sinners, the prayers of sinners, but those who are worshipers of God, he hears their prayers. Amen. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's talk about the favor of God today. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So each individual receives favor when they're born again. And I might as well tell you what the next point is. His favor will give you in a day what you might accomplish in yourself for 20 years. What would take 20 years to accomplish? You have the favor of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. One translation says, the old previous moral and spiritual condition is gone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You become brand new in Him. A new species that has never before existed. One translation says, therefore, if any man be in union with Christ, he is a new creation. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled to God by Jesus, by His sacrifice. Everybody say, I've been reconciled. What's reconciled mean? Listen to this. It means restored to favor. That's what reconciled means. Restored to favor. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. One translation says, God was perfectly present in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Reconciling the world to Himself. In other words, restoring them to favor. And Jesus had this favor on His life. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke 2:52. Now, you're going to want to listen to the illustration that I have for you today. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus increased not only wisdom, but favor, or sometimes it's translated grace. Favor or grace with God. So wherever you are today, since favor is a part of our inheritance, when we get born again, wherever you are in your daily walk, God is going before you to what? To open doors for you. To bring provision. To connect you with influential people. I was talking to Larry Mills, our missionary to Turkey. And he told me that he was in a particular, I think it was an airport or something, and the president of Turkey, Erdogan, the two of them just happened to come face to face, even with all his guards around him and everything, and shook his hand and said in Turkish, you're an American. And he says, yes, you know. So who knows what that handshake might have done, transferring the anointing to that leader. I talked to my neighbor who lives across the street from me. He was telling me whenever Prince Charles made a visit to this country that he went to a particular hotel, and my neighbor, Harry, happened to be there, and he said he just rounded the corner, and there he came face to face with Prince Charles. So Prince Charles and he had all these attendants and probably bodyguards and everything around him, made him nervous, but he reached out, shook his hand, and they stood there and talked for a couple of minutes with Prince Charles. That's a favor of God, isn't it?
Amen.
Absolutely. And so God will bring favor into your life to cause people to even help you, to give you contracts that you desire.
That's
and,
right.
and that people will suddenly like you and want to bless you. That's the favor of God.
That's right.
They'll say, yeah, we want to sign a contract with you, or we want to introduce you to new clients and new customers. And they'll even ask you, what can I do to help you with your vision? I don't know why. I feel this impulse to help you with your vision. I think it was Marilyn Neubauer said she wrote a letter. Oh, no, she sent her book to George Bush, the younger, when he was in office. And his wife read the book. And she even took some time to write a personal note to Marilyn Neubauer and tell her how much she enjoyed that book and what a blessing it was to her. So you see, God can supernaturally promote you wherever you are, at work, put you in a management position, make you a stockholder in the company.
Amen.
Or CEO of the corporation. With supernatural favor, right? I think we told you this, that when we went to build this sanctuary, we didn't have the money for it. And our contractor, who was a Christian, said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And he loaned us the money. He expected us to pay him back with some interest, reasonable interest, and we did. But how many know that's supernatural favor? We had the designs, but we didn't have the money in the natural. But we were believing God. That's supernatural favor. And then I didn't tell you, too, we went to the planning commission when we first built this building and said, is there any way we can get an access from that four-lane highway? And all of them on the commission said, no, you can't. The PennDOT will never give you a limited access to this off of the four-lane onto this property. Well, the guy that was the chairman of the board, when the meeting was over, he drew us aside and he says, listen, when that time comes, he says, I believe you can get that access. So here's the chairman of that planning commission. Says, we could do that. I mean, that's the favor of God. Hallelujah. But anyhow, remember, when you're born again, you get favor. And remember Psalm 81:11, it says, the Lord God is the sun and shield. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Now, you notice it says, for those who walk uprightly. You can't be practicing sin and expect favor. Huh? But anybody can repent, get born again, and get the favor of God. Anybody. Why? Because he's no respecter of persons. So you can do that today. The favor of God will give you in one day, or it'll take it 20 years to accomplish. Amen. Now, Brother Gale gave me some insights. He gave me a paper, a thing that talked about favor, and it had a definition of favor as being an assistance, a provision, a support, a sustaining anointing. Job 10:12. Now, I'm just going to read down through you these real quick, some of the benefits that were on that. Concerning divine favor, and it includes, number one, supernatural increase and promotion in my life. You won't be able to write them fast enough. Genesis 41:40. Number two, total restoration of everything the enemy has stolen. Isaiah 30:18. Honor, number three, honor in the midst of my adversaries. Didn't God do that with the Egyptians or with the children of Israel when they left Egypt? You remember they gathered up the gold, the silver, the jewels from Egypt. Do you remember that? God gave them favor. They left with the wealth of Egypt. Number four, increased assets, especially in the area of real estate. That's Deuteronomy 33:23. The last one, number three, was Exodus 11:3. Number four, the scripture is Deuteronomy 33:23, where Naphtali had the favor and the blessings of the Lord on his life. Number five, greater victories in the midst of great or impossible odds. Joshua 11:20. Number six, recognition and promotion for even when I seem least likely to receive it. I mean, God did that for David, didn't he? 1 Samuel 16:22. Number seven, prominence and preferential treatment in every area. And that's what happened with Esther. Remember? The king chose her above all the other people. And here she was, a Jewish girl in a foreign land. And he made her his wife. And then that's Esther 2:17. And then petitions are granted for me, even by an ungodly authority. And that's what happened with Esther. She said in Esther chapter 5, verse 8, please undo the proclamation of Haman that was going to kill the Jewish people. And she had favor, and it was done. How about number 9? Policies, rules, regulations, disorder, decisions, diagnosis, and laws are changed and reversed to my advantage. And that's exactly what happened. Esther chapter 8, verse 5, when they reversed Haman's order, his edict, and the Jewish people were saved. There would have been another Holocaust if Esther hadn't had the favor of God on her life. And the final one, number 10, victory in battles in which I won't even have to fight because you fight them for me. Psalm 44:3. Mercy and truth are in my heart. I find favor and understanding with God and man. Proverbs 3, verse 34. God's favor. Who wants to be without God's favor? Favor from the Almighty. Favor from the supreme head of the universe. Favor from the El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Huh? No one. And he is no respecter of persons. When you accept Jesus, you obtain favor, and you will see a difference in your life. Amen. He will make a difference.
Amen.
Point number 4. Our lifestyle, i.e. conduct, can either enhance or stifle divine favor. Do you know, sometimes your lifestyle just exudes favor, brings favor. Remember Joseph? I mean, he was maligned. He was tempted. He was abandoned, abused by his brothers. All those nasty things happened to him. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, and he refused. Thrown in prison, and he refused to lose his cool. He refused to get angry. He refused to get bitter. And because of that, it gave him favor to the place that they promoted him to the prime minister of Egypt. Your conduct has a lot to do with obtaining favor. When people see your chaste conversation or lifestyle. Amen. Our lifestyle of honesty, integrity, and kindness and clean living will enhance God's favor in your life. But right on the other hand, to live carnally like a scoundrel, a half-baked Christian, carnal Christian, will inhibit or stifle God's favor in your life. Good integrity and character will put you in a position of favor. Walking after the Spirit will also do the same thing. So, let your character be visible. Let your light shine. Let your good works might glorify, be seen of men and glorify God. So the key to maintaining a lifestyle that's pleasing to God is just living by His Word, right? Our conduct does matter. Keeping our word to people. When you say you're going to do something, do it. Being kind, considerate, gentle does help increase favor. Proverbs 16:7, and I'll just quote this. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. You can have peace with your enemies. You can have favor with your enemies. Glory to God. When your ways are pleasing to the Lord. Now, let me just touch on one thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I like to laugh. I like to have a good time. But I try not to go over this line. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, it says, well, starting with verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, notice he mentions jesting that's not convenient. What's that mean? That means jesting at someone else's expense. If I decide I'm going to kid around with Matt, but it's at his expense, that's not right. Okay? If it's going to make fun of him and put him down, that sort of thing. In the side margin of my Bible, it says, jesting that is witticism in a vulgar sense. Witticism in a vulgar sense, which is a variation of good. So, my wife and I kid around a lot, laugh a lot, but we don't do it at the other person's expense. Or we don't get vulgar, all right? Oh, we talk about intimate things as a husband and wife, but, you know, that's all, you're allowed to do that anyhow. So, here's another one. You do not have to employ carnal manipulation to obtain what you want. You don't have to go to the Hobby Lobby or to Chick-fil-A and ask them for a donation for your pet project. Come on. Amen. That's kind of carnal. We're not chasing after Elon Musk to ask him for money to build our fellowship hall. Amen. Okay? Amen. You have favor with the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the silver and the gold, and he owns the hills himself.
Right.
Amen. Trust God. Begging is not trusting God.
That's right. Amen.
Ministers need to conduct themselves in a loving and professional manner that reflects Jesus. So character and integrity is key. Number five. This is the last one. I'm quitting. We must utilize faith to obtain favor. Just the same way you use faith to applied faith to be healed, faith to prosper, faith to get filled with the Holy Ghost, faith to have a stable mind, faith to succeed in life, whatever it is that you're believing God for, guess what? You need to use faith to obtain favor.
Yep.
Psalm 5, 11, and 12. Now, favor belongs to us. It's part of our inheritance, but we appropriate it by faith, just like healing belongs to us and prosperity belongs to us. But we appropriate it by faith. So make a routine acknowledgement every day. Father, thank you. Speak it out of your mouth. I thank you, according to Psalm 5, 11, and 12, that I have favor with, and then fill in the blank. Favor with the authorities. Or, hey, by the way, have you ever been stopped by the police and given a warning? They didn't give you a ticket. They just gave you a warning. I have. Well, how many know that's favor? Say, yeah, I'll take some of that. All right. By the way, Bob Galina is going to start teaching on some favor after our church services here soon. So be sure you sign up. And some other guys, too, are probably going to be teaching on it. But believe God. Sign up for that. So but believe God for favor with your boss at work, your coworkers, your relatives, your attendants at the airport. Yeah, your family. One guy went to the airport, and he was just a hothead, and he was talking to the baggage person at the counter there, and he just started chewing him out. Just up one side, down the other. Just spoke terrible things to that person. And finally, they got him squared away, and he went on his way. And one of the other clerks said, "How in the world did you keep your cool to that clerk? You didn't get upset or nothing. You just remained real cool." And the clerk says, "Well, he's going to Philadelphia, but his bags are going to Chicago." So we need to be nice at all times, right? And you know what? Sometimes joy can bring you favor with people. Do you know that? I said sometimes joy can bring you favor with people.
Amen.
It says with God and man, right? Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, Jonathan Shuttlesworth tells a story about he was at an airport and he wanted to get home to his fiance, his girl that he loved, Adalis. And he said that he was on standby. You know how that works when you fly on standby? Your name's on a list. He said he looked on the list and his name was number 12 on the list to get on the airplane. But he had to get on that plane to make the connecting flight to get home to see his girlfriend who he loved very much and wanted to see her. There's this big, heavy lady that was in charge of everything. And she was very stern. And people were giving her a hard time. Well, somehow he got up close to her and he said something to her. I don't even know what it was. It was good, clean joke or something. He said to her, and it made her laugh. She just busted out laughing. The next thing he knew, his name moved from number 12 up to number 1. And he got on the airplane. It's good to be nice, good to be happy, right? So, everybody say divine favor. Sometimes joy will bring favor. So just thank him every day for favor. It's a form of prayer when you do that. Thank you, Father, for that favor on my life. With the IRS or with the government authorities. The favor of God. So today, two things impact favor or affect favor. Number one is our integrity and our conduct, our lifestyle. And number two, having faith to appropriate that favor. Let's stand. Oh, thank you for favor, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank him for favor. Thank you, Lord, for the favor of God in our lives. Thank you that you open doors, God, that you make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way, that you give us supernatural influence with people, with our children, with our relatives, with our grandparents and grandchildren. Every area, Father, you give us favor. We believe you for it, Father, and we're expecting great things to happen, Lord. Glory be to God. Right now, you may not have favor in your life because you're not saved. Let's just pray this prayer together. Let's seal it so that you can get the favor of God working in your life. Receive the free gift of salvation right now. Let's pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that you set me free at Calvary's cross. And I want to appropriate my redemption right now. Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Thank you for forgiving me of all my past sins. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. And thank you for a first-class plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give Jesus a hand this morning. Thank God. If you prayed that prayer, 10,000 angels are rejoicing in heaven, and you have the favor of God on your life right now. Expect favor. Speak it every day. Acknowledge it every day. Thank you, Father, for the favor of God in my life. I know Brother Gail tells me he does that. You confess that every day, don't you, brother? Amen. So believe him for it. Expect it when you go to talk to certain people. Expect to have favor. Amen. Don't go up like, oh, I don't know if you're going to listen to me. I don't know. No. You go up with the confidence that comes in the blood of Jesus. Amen. And expect it. Go in humility, but with confidence. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him as we go today. And I'll be up here to pray for you if you need prayer today. And you come in Jesus' name. Let's worship him as we go.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.